This is 89.9 WWNL. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a popular Baroque oratorio, comedic holiday cheer, or a stage date with a classic Victorian tale, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. The Symphony Chorus of New Orleans presents Handel's Messiah, the popular Baroque-era oratorio. This year will include professional soloist, soprano, Annalise Cassar, and others singing with members of the Chalmette High School Voices Chorale. Symphony Chorus Music Director Stephen Edwards is here with Annalise Cassar. Welcome.
Thank you.
Oh, our pleasure to be here.
Tell me, how did this musical collaboration with the Chalmette High School Choir come about?
This is something that Symphony Chorus is always eager to do. Part of our mission is to not only do educational outreach, but to reach out into the community and to collaborate. And I've known Annalise for a number of years. We actually have a number of board members in common between our organizations. So it just seemed like a natural.
And when Stephen and I got to speak about the possibility, I was just so excited. These are the wonderful kinds of opportunities that we look for our students. And Handel's Messiah is one of my most favorite pieces to sing. So it's a true privilege both to share the stage with such wonderful musicians at the Symphony Choir and also to have the privilege of including our students as well. It's just the realization of a dream.
Now, tell me more about the vocal chorale and why these youngsters are such a good fit for this popular work.
They are a wonderful mix of eager learners, and they love to perform, and they love good music of all kinds. And of course, Handel has made some of the best music out there. I'm the music director. My sister, Ariana, is our artistic director. And then we work with four other faculty members, I think, to make this all come together on a regular basis. So it really does take a village, and we're thrilled that the Symphony Choir is joining the village.
Now, you are among several professional soloists performing with the Symphony Chorus. Tell us, what will you sing?
Well, I'll be singing the soprano solos, and some of my favorites include Rejoice Greatly and I Know That My Redeemer Liveth. I've had the opportunity to listen to Handel's Messiah since I was a small child with my family. It was something that we always started listening to in October at the very latest. So the Messiah has been a part of my musical heritage, really, for my entire life. So I bring to it certainly a longstanding love and respect of the piece. And also, I'm really passionate about the message and about the glory of the Christmas season and how we as a community should celebrate that every year.
Is this your first time performing with the Symphony Chorus?
I think it is. This is my debut with the Symphony Chorus. I'm so excited.
Wow. The Symphony Chorus, Stephen, has been performing this work for more than 25 years during the Christmas holidays. It's curious to me that this work was originally conceived as an Easter offering. How did it become so popular during the Christmas season?
Well, in fact, it was first done during the Easter season because it really isn't a Christmas work. It deals with the whole mystery of salvation, from the prophecy of Jesus through the Passion and even through being taken up through the Last Judgment in heaven. The work, really, when Handel conceived it, wasn't conceived of as a church piece. In fact, during Handel's lifetime, it was never performed in churches or associated really with a church season, aside from the fact that oratorios tended to be performed in Lent because operas weren't performed during Lent. The first performance was in Dublin during the Easter season, and it was associated with benefit performances. In fact, when Handel died, he willed the material to an orphanage. But during Handel's lifetime, the work was done every year, always in a theater. And I'm always amused to see what the theaters of the time looked like. The first performance and most of his oratorios were done in a place that looked a lot like Tipitina's here in New Orleans, about the same size and kind of the same configuration. It was only after Handel's death that people started doing these gigantic performances with hundreds of people in churches and at big choral festivals. So it really was conceived by Handel very much theatrically and operatically, even though there are no costumes or sets or anything like that.
Now, you're performing this with players from the LPO.
And yes.
Who are the other professional soloists that are involved?
Well, in addition to Annalise, who's doing the wonderful soprano solos, we have Monica Cosen, who is coming from Pensacola, Florida. Also, Dana Wilson, who is singing all over the world but lives here in New Orleans, and bass Andre Chang, who some of your listeners may remember from our performance of Carmina Burana last year.
Mm. And the Hallelujah Chorus. Why do people stand for it?
The story is that the king thought the piece was over and he stood up. And if the king stands up, everybody stands up.
I always thought he was moved and that was why he stood.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Is there an uplifting message that people will take away from this piece?
Oh, certainly. And it's a piece that I think is uplifting whether one is a believing Christian or not. I know we have people from all faiths and even no faith who find this story to be a seasonal inspiration every year. It really is an uplifting and moving experience. I never get tired of doing it. You know, there's a reason that this is the most performed choral orchestral work in the world and in history. So if you've never heard it before, come and find out what all the excitement is about. You won't be sorry.
Yes, indeed.
Symphony Chorus Music Director Stephen Edwards and soprano Annalise Kassar. Thanks.
You're welcome, Diane.
The Symphony Chorus of New Orleans presents Handel's Messiah at Holy Name of Jesus Church, 6367 St. Charles Avenue, Wednesday, December 12th, and Saturday, December 15th in Chalmette at Chalmette High School Cultural Arts Center, 2600 Palmisano Boulevard. Both performances are at 7 p.m. More info at symphonychorus.org. And just in time for Christmas, Southern Rep Theater presents the world premiere of Mandatory Merriment, a new holiday musical by New Orleans native and Broadway actress Leslie Caste and improv actor and writer Ian Hoke. It's a hilarious romp in a local bar that tests the fortitude of strangers stranded for the holidays. Leslie Caste and Ian Hoke are here. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
This production is something new for both of you. Tell me, how did it come about?
Well, about last March, MA reached out to me about creating something for the holiday offering in their brand new space on Bayou Road. And she wanted something very celebratory, and she wanted something with music. I have created many musical reviews in my tenure as a MFA grad student at Tulane. I created many reviews and pieces for my students there, and I've created solo cabaret shows, but I'd never written a script. And that was a daunting task. We thought we wanted it not to be a solo show, but five characters. And she offered the directing spot to me, which I eagerly accepted because I love directing and it's another muscle I don't get to flex as often as I'd like to. And she recommended bringing Ian Hoke into the project as a collaborator. We just have fun together every time we're together. So I thought that was an excellent idea.
And I jumped at the chance to write something because I really wanted to have the creative freedom to write the piece. But I felt like I could really use some support with these sort of conceptual idea generation. And that's what Leslie and I did for the first several meetings. So it was a really good partnership, and that was clear from the jump.
I love the title, Mandatory Merriment. Yeah. How are you forcing folks to have fun and get in the spirit of the season?
We wanted to do an offering, a holiday offering for people who are not necessarily ready for the holidays, which me as a parent of two children, there's a certain high level of stress that comes with the holidays. And we just wanted it to say, it's okay to have ambivalent feelings about the holidays and what happens if you're just forced somewhere and just have to stop. So we have come up with five characters who get stranded in a New Orleans dive bar for 3 days due to an unforeseen weather event, 3 days before December 25th. And they're forced to just stop and relate to each other and people they wouldn't normally meet on the street, and stories are shared and laughs and drinks and all sorts of things happen, and it's just a lot of fun.
So take us down to Benny's Tavern and let's talk about the experience and the themes that are being explored.
Well, we have people that are visiting New Orleans, you have people that are native to New Orleans, and they all come to the table with the sort of attendant issues you might expect, whether that's ignorance about the cultural milieu or real pride in your city as it's falling apart and things aren't going that well on paper. So you end up with these kind of friction points between this cast of characters, becomes kind of this interrelated web of issues and relationships, and that was so much fun to write. It felt to me like it mirrors real life in a way. But of course, it's a musical, so it also has to be pretty silly and pretty heightened. And I think the end result is going to be familiar and exciting.
Basically, I made a huge Spotify playlist. And as we came up with the characters, we sort of said, oh, there's an arc. If we use this song here and if this character sings this, this holiday song would be great as a duet. This holiday song would be great as a trio. It just sort of organically happened. It turned into this wonderful original jukebox musical.
Is there a short story you can tell us a little about?
Ian Hoke plays the character Ryan Olson, visiting from Iowa. And he loves all things New Orleans. And his wife, Maggie, is sort of along for the ride. She goes along with it because they are a fun-loving couple from Iowa. And Ryan finds himself in this dive bar off the beaten path of Bourbon Street in the French Quarter. And he looks around and he says, I think this place is amazing. He's after a real authentic experience. So when he meets Dewey, the bartender, played by Clint Johnson, in the bar, Dewey offers him a drink. He says, I can make you just about anything. What would you like?
Well, how about a Ramos Gin Fizz?
I'm not making you a Ramos Gin Fizz.
Okay, how about a Sazerac?
No, I don't have Herbsan, I'm sorry.
Okay, how about a hurricane?
Do you know what a hurricane is?
No, not really.
Then yes, I can make you a hurricane.
That's wonderful, thank you.
A lot of silly jokes like that.
What are some of the songs that tie the stories together?
We have songs ranging from Irving Berlin's I Got My Love to Keep You Warm, to Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, to Boogie Woogie Santa Claus, an old Patti Page hit, to Run Run Rudolph, Chuck Berry. We do a little of that. We do an old Dean Martin song called The Christmas Blues, and a couple of under the radar obscure pop hits. We have an original song by Bonnie Gibson. She said, well, you know, I wrote a song that didn't make it onto her holiday Christmas album. She offered to let us premiere the song, and it's called Le Bon Temps Cajun Christmas. And it's one of my favorite moments in the entire show. I think everybody gets a percussion instrument and they have a good old time and they line dance, and it's just wonderful. I love it.
Now tell me, who's in the cast?
Well, besides Ian Hoke, we have Meredith Long, who plays Maggie, his wife. Alan Payne is our musical director and also an actor in the show. He plays Benny, the owner of Benny's Tavern. So you find him playing piano and also barking orders throughout to his bartender, Dewey, played by Clint Johnson, an aspiring bartender who really wants to lift the bar up to the next level and reach out to those tourist dollars. We have Whitney Mixon, who plays Angela, a very talented, aspiring singer who comes from a very famous musical family and is sort of treated as the ugly duckling and one who's never gotten her due before. So she's looking for her big shot. And then we have the wonderful Shivas Michael, who plays Curtis, a very senior high-up administrator at City Hall.
And what are you hoping folks will take away from this homemade holiday treat?
I just want them to relax and have a good time and realize Christmas is going to happen whether you get it all done or not. Sometimes the best holidays are the ones you don't plan.
That's nice, Leslie. I would say this show is custom made for this audience in this period of time. I mean, if there's a Christmas show that's appropriate in New Orleans, Louisiana in 2018, it's Mandatory America. It's very topical. It's just chock-a-block full of local inside jokes.
Leslie Castay and Ian Hoke, creators of Mandatory Merriment, a new holiday musical. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Diane.
Thank you, Diane.
Southern Rep Theater presents Mandatory Merriment in its new theater home at 2541 Bayou Road. Performances run through December 23rd. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. Veteran New Orleans actor Bob Eads is Ebenezer Scrooge in Le Petit Theatre's production of Charles Dickens' Victorian classic, A Christmas Carol. This is the first annual production featuring performers from the theatre's newly launched Young Conservatory program. Actor Bob Eads is here with director Maxwell Williams. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Diane.
Hey, good to see you.
This is an exciting launch of a program that's growing new seed for Le Petit. Tell us about this youth company of performers, Max. Who are these young people?
For years and years, Le Petit had a long and vibrant history of doing theater with young people and for young people, and that's something that we were kind of forced to move away from to prioritize on other things in the last few years. So it's been a long time coming. We're very excited about it. We've launched some education initiatives. They're multi-pronged. We're doing classes in the fall and in the spring now. We'll be doing a full production of Theater for Young Audiences with young people in the spring. But specific to Christmas Carol, you know, It's fairly usual in large traditional adaptations of the play, like the one that we've written, to have a youth company as a part of that. So this cast is made up of 16 adult actors. Some of them behave like children, but they're adults. I'm kidding, of course. And then a rotating cast of 20 young performers who were cast out of auditions. They're from all over the city, from all walks of life, just beautifully, beautifully talented youngsters. You know, I think a lot of times there's an emphasis almost on pageantry when you have a production that features a lot of children. They have a chance to hop up on stage and kind of parade around. We've tried to really give them in the text some real intentions, real acting moments. So we've been rehearsing for them for a few weeks, and they'll make their debut in just a moment here, I guess.
It sounds like a very large cast.
It is definitely the most ambitious play that Le Petit has done during my tenure. There's no question about it. Just as we go through the technical rehearsals, there's moving scenery and so many lights, projection design. You know, Bob, in a way, has the hardest job because he's on stage almost the whole time. Of course, it's a spectacle, but the beautiful thing about this story is that it is so deeply human, so funny. It takes you everywhere, really runs the gamut of human emotions. And so the spectacle and the fun and the magic and the snow and all that kind of stuff that we put on top of it, that stuff supports it, you know, but the truth is there underneath it. So I hope people like it.
Right. And Bob, you are Ebenezer Scrooge. How do you interact with these young cast members?
Oh, it's great. They're so there. And I was mentioning to a fellow cast member that there were a couple of kids sitting in the audience that sat in the audience the whole time watching a tech rehearsal. We were making things work. We were finding things. And they just sat there. They couldn't take their eyes off the stage. And I thought, that would be me.
Tell me, what do you bring to the role of this miser who is visited by ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future?
A couple of decades ago, I had toured in this for a few years. I started as Fezziwig, and then I assumed the role of Scrooge, and I did that for a few years. And to come back to it after a couple of decades is so exciting. The transformation for myself and the audience, I think, is Christmas.
It's easy to think of Scrooge as a mean man who then transforms into a nice man. But far beyond that, I think when you read the book, when you come see this adaptation of the play, you really get a sense for what are the reasons that he's withdrawn from his fellow man. Why has he become so solitary and so alone? And over the course of this magical, insane night where he is shown the history of his life in Christmas in the past, present, and what the future will become if he doesn't change his destiny, it's really about him reconnecting with his friends, with his family, with his community. And that becomes infectious. And it becomes infectious not only inside the play with all the various citizens of London and Nephew Fred and Bob Cratchit and Tiny Tim and all those characters that we love, but it's infectious in the theater. You know, it just fills me with glee. And I hope it fills the audience with glee, too.
It resonates so strongly with everybody. Everybody feels this journey that he goes on.
Can you invite us into the show? Give us a little taste of what we might experience?
Please, please, yes.
This is from, and I'm not in the play. I want to emphasize the scene is done by these two wonderful actors, Zeb Hollins and Sean Patterson. So I will endeavor to fill their shoes while Bob is reading Scrooge of this excerpt from the early part of the play.
At this festive season of the year, Mr. Scrooge, it is more than usually desirable that we should make some slight provision for the poor and destitute who suffer greatly at the present time.
Are there no prisons?
Plenty of prisons.
And the workhouses? Are they still in operation?
They are. I wish I could say they were not.
Oh, I'm very glad to hear it. I was afraid from what you had said at first, something had occurred to stop them in their useful course.
Under the impression that they scarcely furnish Christian cheer of mind or body to the multitude, a few of us are endeavoring to raise a fund to buy the poor some meat and drink and means of warmth. We choose this time because it is a time above all others when want is keenly felt and abundance rejoices. What shall we put you down for?
Nothing.
You wish to remain anonymous?
I wish to be left alone, since you ask me what I wish. Gentlemen, that is my answer. I do not make merry myself at Christmas, and I cannot afford to make idle people merry. I am taxed. I helped to support the establishments I mentioned. They cost enough. Those who are badly off must go there.
You're a stingy one.
Yes. That's before he learns the
You're
true meaning
one,
of Christmas.
Mr.
You know?
Scrooge.
The overall theme in the production is one of redemption, one of return to kindness. Why do you believe kindness, being kind, is often easier said than done?
Well, the temptation, you know, sort of as Scrooge does, to withdraw and to protect ourselves from other people can be a strong one. Frankly, just life can be overwhelming. We live in a very busy city and we interact with a lot of people on any given day. And it takes real effort. It takes real commitment to show acts of kindness. One hopes, of course, that it happens all the year long. But at this time, you know, we kind of all agree that we're going to really just reinforce those values within ourselves, reach out, be kind, and remember what's so important about our connections to each other, to lift up our heads from the sidewalk in front of us. And
I was just thinking the same thing. You have to step out of yourself. We are all one. If you make that reach out and try to make some kind of connection like that, that's the better world. And that's what this so beautifully illustrates.
Actor Bob Eats and director Maxwell Williams, thanks.
Thank you so much, Diane. Happy holidays.
And the same to you.
Thank you.
Le Petit Theatre presents A Christmas Carol. Performances run December 7th through 23rd. More info is online at lepetittheatre.com. That's our show for this week. Major support for Inside the Arts comes from the Hellas Foundation. Additional support comes from Christwood Retirement Community, the Contemporary Arts Center, and the New Orleans Opera Association. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45 when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.